Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Yes, we're back again.
And Ann has brought another guest on today, which is tremendous. And this is Lance Greif.
Greif. We got it.
From Great Neck. And Lance is a podiatrist. And really, some of these things are so simple, but yet so important for people as they age to be taken care of and watching out for simple little things. And actually, Ann, you go a little further now with Lance.
I hope that Dr. Greif will talk to us about the things that seniors have to focus on. And I think that if he'd be kind enough to maybe cover some of the things that we need to know, it would be very helpful in being able to stay independent and mobile and be able to have a nice quality of life. So with that, I will ask Dr. Greif to talk about certain things that he thinks are important for seniors to be aware of as we want to maintain ourselves and be out there in the mainstream.
Right.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Terrific. Actually, I have one question because I have heard it from actually different people on this show, etc. And it's painful for seeing. I don't think younger people, but maybe I'm wrong. Is like your heels drying and then cracking and
pain in the heel
and pain. Is that a vitamin? Is that a diet type thing, or that's some sort of a lotion? And
it could be a couple of things. I mean, certainly we have to look at it from a few different perspectives. Certainly as a skin and dermatological problem, especially in this type of time of year with the winter or the summer.
Right, that's true, too, because you get your fingers, too, sometimes, right.
We want to treat it with some creams, some topical creams, staying well hydrated, avoiding long, hot showers, and looking at the shoe gear. We want to try to cup the heel, try to preserve that fat pad under the heel, give it some gel cushions for better shock absorption, wearing socks at all times, especially when sleeping, especially applying the moisturizing cream. I like to prescribe socks when sleeping as well, and using the cream at least twice a day, not walking barefoot. The backless slippers or backless sandals where your heel spreads over the back of the heel can cause those dry cuts as well, those fissures that we call them. It could be medicine related. Certainly medicines dry the body out and have some side effects. And then there's heel pain as well, which perhaps we could talk a little bit about later, which is a whole different ballgame based on mechanics.
Okay, now keep going with the heel pain, because, I mean, you see it sometimes at the senior center, even. I'm involved.
Very,
you know, like,
common.
You don't know what the reason is, but, you know, those steps are not as, you know, as opposed to walking one, two, three, the pain radiates and it shoots up your leg.
I can tell you personally, I suffered from it, and Dr. Greif amazingly did something that I know others will continue complaining about it, and he cured it. I haven't had 1 ounce of nothing. I mean,
can you share or no?
We'll try.
Okay.
family secrets.
Yeah.
Plantar fasciitis, which is a form of heel pain, is one of the most common things we see in the office on a daily basis. It's really an overuse type injury where the plantar fascia, which is a long ligament that inserts into the bottom of the heel, becomes tight and pulls off the bottom of the heel. An old-fashioned term was people say, I have a heel spur.
We're not really
concerned with heel spurs anymore. A heel spur is really nothing more than an x-ray finding. It tells us that the tendon is pulling on the heel. You could have a heel that is very smooth as the day you were born and have intense pain, and have a heel spur that is very large that causes no pain at all. So now we're really treating the inflammation of the plantar fascia as it inserts into the heel. And it can be treated in any one of a couple of ways. Certainly one of the basic ways we treat it is with stretching. We want to try to loosen the muscles. Again, not walking barefoot is a very, very important thing at home to bring the ground up to the foot and offload the pressure off the plantar fascia.
Okay.
Shoe gear is very important, wearing very good supportive shoes. A lot of people today wearing very minimalist shoes, and shoe selection is a very, very important thing today. In the office, we'll do some injection therapy. Will prescribe either over-the-counter or custom orthotics to control the mechanics of the foot that's aggravating it. And when necessary, We'll do some surgical procedures, some basic things. But there's a very, very exciting treatment that we're doing now in the office called EPAT. It's a sound wave treatment. And we use sound waves to treat insertional tendon pain. And we use sound waves to break up scar tissue, increase circulation, and restore the normal integrity of those tendons. And it's a great, great, great technique to treat resistant heel pain on a regular basis.
Is this a relatively new procedure?
I was the first one to bring shockwave to the New York area about 10, 15 years ago. The machines were much larger. It's the same principle as a lithotripsy machine for kidney stones, using the sound waves to break up the kidney stones. The way it really got its notice and recognition was that people that were having their kidney stones treated with that same technique found their hips felt better. And from that revolution, we started using it to treat insertional tendon pain. So now it's gone from using it from straightforward plantar fascial pain, the bottom of the heel, to treating Achilles tendon pain. I'll use it to treat shin splints, any kind of insertional tendon pain, metatarsal pain, simple arthritic areas as well. It's a great technique to treat plantar fascial pain.
That's amazing. It's amazing how something happens. Like, you go after the kidney and the hip feels better.
Correct.
But I mean, that's what,
correct,
you know, science and research, there's peripheral areas that get worked on.
It's amazing how small the machines have gotten now as well.
Oh,
the machines
sure
were much larger, and now they're much more portable. The focus, the head of the machine now is much smaller as well. We can move it around, so it gives us the luxury of using it for other parts.
And
of
you don't
the
feel anything, right?
You feel a little bit. It's sound waves. So
okay,
you do feel
a
little bit, but not that much. And we do it to the patient's tolerance. And usually after 3, 4, 5 sessions, usually a few months later, because we are using the machine, the technology to stimulate the body's natural healing response, usually we do see a tremendous improvement at about 2-3 months post-treatment.
Okay, terrific.
And after you've done a procedure, how important is it for the patient to follow up and, let's say, have orthotics? Is that an important thing to have? And what is the difference between orthotics that you would customize versus, let's say, I go into CVS and get on that machine with Dr. Scholes? I don't understand the difference.
So it's important to have a team approach, and definitely there's no one panacea for most things that we do. So the more things that we combine, the better results we get. So if we do an injection therapy, or we do sound wave therapy, or we're stretching by itself, we're not going to really get the best results. The more things we combine, the better results we get. So if we do the EPAT therapy, and then we maintain the correction with an orthotic, then we usually yield much better results. Now, there's a whole, the over-the-counter products now have gotten much better over the years. I'm not particularly a big fan of the ones you typically find in the pharmacy, but we do carry some over-the-counter products now in the office that are much better made. But certainly for the average person, an over-the-counter product is made for the average foot. Most people that are coming into our office are not the average foot.
Right.
There's a variation in weight size, there's a variation in muscle strength, there's a variation in tissue quality, and the ability for us to do a custom orthotic and add those bells and whistles to an orthotic to offload the pressure and to post the orthotic to take the pressure off those spots that are causing pain really yields much, much better results over time for the patient.
Is that a painful process to get an orthotic? And what exactly do you do when you make a customized orthotic?
So the first thing we're going to
just
look at.
Just stop and try. An orthotic, right, that's just a shoe. That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking
right.
You're talking about making a shoe.
No.
What's an orthotic?
An orthotic is an insert that goes into the shoe.
Oh, I thought it was the whole shoe that you make. That's why I'm, okay.
So part of the equation is you want to combine a good shoe with good proper shoe selection with a good orthotic. You don't want to put a good orthotic in the wrong shoe for the patient, and you don't want to put a bad orthotic in a good shoe. You want to have the good selection of a good shoe selection and a good orthotic. So the first thing we'll start off with is a biomechanical examination. We'll evaluate the patient's gait, the way they're moving.
Okay.
Look at the muscle strength. We'll take a look at the patient's x-rays for bony structures, and we'll decide what type of impression is the best to take for an orthotic. So we'll do it one of three ways. We'll do it with a foam impression where the patient's sitting in a chair and it's done semi-weight bearing, so we take it the patient's not standing. We'll do it either with an off-weight bearing cast, with a plaster cast, and now the new technology actually, which is catching on, is there are some 3D scanners that we're fooling around with now, and some laser techniques that we're using for the impression taking. And I really base it, the reason why it's customized is because we're looking at the person as a whole, and we're deciding what type of device and what type of impression is best for that patient. And we'll vary it based on what the patient's needs are.
Okay. Now, the orthotic, then, is the bottom of the shoe, then you put it into your shoe, and then you put your foot in, obviously.
Right. So most shoes, the sneakers especially, have liners that come out. So the orthotic is activity-specific and shoe-specific.
Oh, okay.
So if somebody is a runner, they're a marathon runner, we'll make them an orthotic for their running shoes specifically. That device can be transferred to a sneaker. Any other kind of like tennis shoe
right.
or an aerobic shoe.
But it's not going to go into, if it's a lady, into a high heel then.
Correct.
It's a whole different
then
thing.
Then we'll do a thinner device
okay.
for those type of shoes. Or there are hybrid shoes as well. There are shoes that are loafers that have liners that come out. So it's a little tricky. No one device fits every shoe.
Okay.
And when you try to make one device to fit every shoe and you cut corners, again, you lose and you compromise and don't get the best results.
You're defeating the purpose of why you went in the first
place. But there
are
definitely multiple devices to fit multiple shoes for multiple activities are definitely the way to go.
Okay. So let me see if I have this straight. Mm-hmm. This is going to be more expensive than getting an over-the-counter. But in the long run, how long will this last? And once it gets to a point where it seems like it's not as good, can you do anything to sort of liven it up again?
So most orthotics last about 2.5-3 years based on the activity that the person people are involved in, based on their weight, based on how often they're wearing the orthotics. The luxury of the orthotic is that when it lasts 2.5 years, you can refurbish an orthotic. So the shell, the hard part of the orthotic, or the rigid part of the orthotic, will last for 2.5 years. But we usually sandwich products around that shell to yield better shock absorption. And that shock absorption and the posting of the orthotic, like the tires of your car, which wear down, the posting and the shock absorption and the top covers can be refurbished. So we maintain the length and the life of the orthotic. But usually about 2.5-3 years is the gauge for an orthotic. There are the over-the-counter products, like I said, are better now. But the beauty of an orthotic is they're adjustable. They're adjustable. We can modify it. We can try to heat, raise it, widen it. We can do a lot of things to an orthotic to make the patient more comfortable. And hands down, over time, while people think they may do just as well with an over-the-counter orthotic, financially, they will come out way, way ahead in the long run with a customer orthotic, which will last much longer and yield much better results as far as comfort goes.
Bottom line, that's always the case. Unfortunately, you know, you think you're going to the store, anything that comes off the rack, it's fine for certain things. Right. But when it comes to your health, you know, whether it's glasses earlier or your feet or no matter what it is, something that's designed for you, because we're all unique, and nobody here, the four of us, the five of us in this room, everybody's foot's different, so why skimp?
I agree.
And again, you're buying those cheaper ones, they're breaking, and then you're going back, and you still have the same problem.
I agree.
You know?
Is any of this covered under insurance?
You know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about insurance when we come back, because we're going to go into the break. And so this way, the insurance part, which is very important, that'll be the first thing when you come back. We're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.